regardless of the stance of others. We should recognise the healing influence of being able to say sorry for the human effects of all actions caused during the armed struggle. All actions caused during the armed struggle. These are the words of Sinn Féin's national chairperson in the latest edition of An Phoblacht, the Republican newspaper. Declan Kearney is asking Republicans to say sorry, not for the IRA war, but for the hurt caused by all its actions. Previous apologies were given to non-combatants, but army, soldiers and loyalists, they were not included. Are they included now? Well, we'll speak to Declan Kearney in a second or two and to the Ulster Unionist Mike Nesbitt. First, let's talk to the security journalist Brian Rowan. Brian, what's going on here? Morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. I think we need to understand what he's not saying as much as what he is saying. And what he is doing is challenging Republicans as part of a broader healing process to say sorry, not for the IRA war, but for all the human hurt caused by all its armed actions. Now, that is a significant and important first step. But the next steps, if they come and if they're taken, will determine its real significance, because he's asking the Republican leadership to go beyond an IRA statement of a decade ago, that statement that you mentioned in your introduction, when it addressed the deaths and injuries of non-combatants and offered apologies and condolences to their families. But what is now being asked for, and asked for by a senior Sinn Féin leader, is an initiative that acknowledges all the human suffering caused to combatants and non-combatants, to those who wore uniforms and those who did not. And he writes about the real hurt that exists on all sides. And I think the reading between his lines is a message that says everyone was a victim. So let's be clear, this is not an apology for the armed struggle, as Republicans call it, but a challenge to say sorry for the human hurt caused. If I could just continue, Stephen, for a moment. I sent this article to Harold Good, the former Methodist president who was a church witness to the IRA's decommissioning. And he was someone from that community who was speaking to Republicans long before it was comfortable or easy to do so. Now, he describes this article as truly remarkable. He says that while Declan Kearney talks about dealing with the legacy of the past and does not avoid the difficulty and contentious discussion of political conditions and what Republicans will refer to as context, what he says is Declan Kearney is unambiguous in his understanding of the need for the most difficult but essential word, sorry. And just to add a sentence or two to that from Harold Good, he says, what a challenge to us all. What about an initiative which would give us all an opportunity to say sorry to one another for what we have failed to be and do, as well as for what we have been and done. So from someone who knows all of the hurt caused by the IRA campaign, a response there from Harold Good that describes this article from Declan Kearney as truly remarkable.
So are they, in your view, Brian, are they saying sorry to the police officers and the soldiers who have been killed?
What they're saying is, now, when you say are they saying, it is a challenge from Declan Kearney for the Republican leadership to say sorry for the human suffering that has been caused. It is not an apology for the armed struggle. And that is, that has to be understood, because in this article, Declan Kearney describes the IRA's armed struggle in the context of being actions of last resort linked to political conditions, which he writes no longer exist. But this is about what he describes as an authentic, trying to establish an authentic reconciliation process, a process that is about healing. And when you begin a healing process, maybe the hardest word to say is sorry. I mean, I asked Jackie McDonald, the loyalist leader, just recently on the 20th anniversary of the Ormo Bookmaker shooting, could he say sorry for the killings that day? And he chose not to use the word sorry. So it has been said very much in that context as a next step beyond ceasefires beyond the ending of the armed campaign, beyond the political agreement. It is to set us on a path towards reconciliation. And I also spoke yesterday, Stephen, to Peter Sheridan, the former Assistant Chief Constable, now Chief Executive of the peacebuilding organisation Cooperation Ireland, someone who was targeted by the IRA. And this is what he said. He said, "This article is absolutely worth a very close read and with an open mind." And he said, "The thing that strikes me is that it points to the next stage, particularly in terms of reconciliation and healing." And he said that Declan Kearney's use of the word sorry is an important step forward on that path.
Just help us, Brian, finally, because I can speak to Declan in a second or two. Help us all understand who Declan is and the significance of him saying it.
Well, he will explain his own significance, I suppose, in a moment or two. He is the national chair of Sinn Féin. He is someone who speaks and writes on the biggest issues. Recently wrote in the Belfast Telegraph on the unfinished business of policing. Several years ago used a public speech to warn the DUP of political consequences over stalling on the devolution of policing and justice. And what I would say about Declan Kearney is that at his level of the Republican leadership, there is no such thing as a solo run or one-man speech. Now, he might dispute that, but I think we can be confident that this article reflects wider thinking. I'm not saying it's a piece of choreography which will lead to an inevitable statement from the Republican or IRA leadership that says sorry, but I think when it is said by someone at Declan Kearney's level, it will be given serious consideration and thought across the broad Republican movement.
Okay, well, let's speak to him then. Declan, good morning to you.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
To whom is the word sorry necessary, Declan?
I think we have to say sorry to everyone, Stephen, and we all need to say sorry to each other. In the context of the fashion in which everyone in our society has been impacted as a result of conflict, we are all damaged, we're all hurt, and there is a powerful healing content in the ability to acknowledge human tragedy, look beyond that human tragedy, and assert the healing influence of that word, that it would have been much better had it never happened. And on that basis, to explore through increased mutual understanding, leading to concerted efforts at creating new levels and layers of trust to taking us to a better place than we already are. There have been enormous efforts made over the years and tremendous progress made within our peace process. This considered article and the remarks which are directed to fellow Republicans, encouraging them to reflect on what more we can do to develop a context for authentic reconciliation, and the attempt in the article to influence a wider community context, all arises from my belief that we have an opportunity now to propel our peace process to an entirely new level.
So that I understand even the basics of this, Declan. So are you saying that for someone who was in whatever part of the Republican movement that engaged in violence, let's take the IRA for example, are you saying that a member of the IRA who killed a police officer in Northern Ireland should find it within himself to say sorry?
What I'm saying, Stephen, is we need to open up new avenues of dialogue. My article states very clearly that increased dialogue and engagement with the wider Unionist and Protestant community is essential, and that poses enormous challenges for Republicans. And the reason for that is because we need to come to this setting aside our assumptions or our preconceptions about that type of dialogue, and through listening in an unconditional way to hear and develop a deeper comprehension of the hurt which would exist within the Unionist and the Protestant community.
Yes, but what you have said is we should recognise the healing influence of being able to say sorry for the human effects of all actions caused during the armed struggle. All actions caused. So not just... The key to this, clearly, Declan, is you're saying that it doesn't apply to non-combatants. You're saying that this applies also to combatants, right?
All sensible people would wish that we had never lived through the war that we did. It's an unfortunate historic and political reality that we did, that conditions existed that gave rise to the conflict, and from a Republican point of view, resulted in recourse to armed struggle as a last resort.
Well, Declan, let me ask...
But those conditions now no longer exist. And what we need to do is to find new language with which to speak to one another.
Well,
and to find new ways where we can try and heal the hurt that was occasioned as a result of the conflict. Because the reality, Stephen, is that there was human hurt caused, regardless as to whether those impacted were combatants, volunteers in the IRA, British soldiers, members of the RUC, or whether they were non-combatants and individuals who were caught up in the context of the violence that we lived through.
I want to talk to Mike Nesbitt in just a second or two.
And had no role or involvement in political terms.
Declan, I want to talk
Just to finish on that, so let's recognise that our own humanity and recognise that with compassion and thoughtful reflection, we can do something to try and reduce and heal the hurt which has been caused.
Well, you have clearly reflected. So therefore, what would you like to say as a Republican to police officers, to their families who were murdered by the IRA?
Let's engage. Let's create an entirely new space within which the uncomfortable conversations, as I described them, which are key to reconciliation, can in fact take place.
But what you've written, Declan, is regardless of the stance of others, so regardless of what others say to you, what would you, because the inference in what you've written is that you feel Republicans should take at least the first step or take a step regardless of what others do. Now, what would you personally like to say to police officers and their families who were seriously injured, shot, murdered by the IRA?
In the past, Stephen, Republicans have taken very many initiatives for peace. And I'm saying that Republicans today should be up for new thinking and new discussion.
What's your new thinking?
And that means being courageous. And to answer your question, what I would like to discuss with those that you mentioned is how much more can I and others do to relieve the hurt and heal the past?
Are you in a position, Declan?
And allow us to create new foundations to move our peace process to a new level.
I hear that loud and clear, but are you in a position to be able to say sorry today? Or do you need more time to think about it?
This article, Stephen, is a very considered piece. I would urge everyone, all of your listeners, to read the article and to read it very carefully. This is an exhortation to Republicans, but there is an implicit outreach to many beyond the Republican base, to reimagine how we can begin to engage and confer and discuss with one another, and to, in this context, with a bedded-in peace process and political stability, to deal with the discussions that to date have never happened.
Mike Nesbitt's been listening to you this morning.
The challenging discussions that now need to take place.
Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen, and good morning, Declan.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
What do you make of what you've heard, Mike?
Well, Stephen, I only got home late last night, and at that point I had a read at Declan's article. I've only read it once. It's 22 pretty short paragraphs. I'm going to say short. One's only 5 words. On that first reading, I have 28 questions for clarification, so I'm not really in a position to say much. But if this is a seminal statement from Declan, if it is designed to change the dynamic, if it is in fact their equivalent of the Downing Street Declaration, then Sinn Féin will understand that I will need, and the Ulster Unionist Party will need, to take the sort of time Sinn Féin took over the Downing Street Declaration to think about this. I'll need to read it again and decide whether I can shrink that 28 questions or whether I need to expand it. I'll have to speak to my colleagues. We'll have to take it around the country and speak to our associations and drill down to try and find the real meaning of it.
What are your key questions, Mike? What are your key questions?
Well, Stephen, I can't at this stage, if I ask one question, you will assume it is the key question. I would ask two of Declan if we can agree that that doesn't necessarily mean these are the most important.
Work away.
Okay. Declan, the first question is, do you think that the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland in 1969, Terence O'Neill, was a bigot?
And what's your second question?
Well, that's the first question, Declan.
I believe that Terence O'Neill presided over institutionalised sectarianism and discrimination in the Northern State.
So you believe
yes,
he's a bigot?
I'm not in a position to break down for you, Mike, the political DNA that made up Terence O'Neill. But what I can tell you is that in systemic terms, as the Prime Minister of the North of Ireland and as the head of what was then a one-party state, he presided over institutionalised sectarianism and discrimination and domination against nationalists and Catholics. Now, in relation to, give him a chance, Declan. I do think you should give him a chance, Declan. In relation to where a line of questioning would that would go, because I have spoken in this article with a great deal of compassion and imagination.
Okay. Well, Declan, let's hear what
Mike
has to say.
We need to have a discourse and a dialogue at that level rather than getting into whataboutery or tit-for-tat
politics. All right, let's listen to what Mike wants to say.
Well, I'll tell you why I was asking, Declan. I'm looking at page 25 of The Politics of Irish Freedom by Gerry Adams, a seminal work by your leader, and in the middle of page 25, quote-unquote, Terence O'Neill was an educated bigot. You're not, by the way, selling yourself as somebody to sit down and talk to, because you're not really listening to me. All I hear is you talking. Question two. In paragraph three, you describe what happened as a war. It was not a war. Internationally, it was not a war. But let's pretend for one second it was a war. Was King's Mills a war crime?
Stephen and Mike, I can understand
talk
that
to me, Declan. Don't talk
politicians
to
are going to fear the challenge contained within this article. And it's a bit ironic that Mike, as a former commissioner, is reflecting that concern or fear or trepidation. I actually believe that Republicans don't fear the implications of stepping into the arena and having this kind of discussion.
Well, he's asked you a direct question. Was it a war crime or not?
And I actually believe that wider unionism would welcome this type of engagement.
Well, but
the King's Mill killings should never have taken place. Now, I'm not interested because I think it diminishes us all in getting into a diversionary discussion about what is a very considered article which is designed to show leadership in relation to the whataboutery or the tit-for-tat politics of what happened in the past, because that trivialises what I am attempting to say, and it diminishes those whom I would hope would actually come to this with a good heart.
And I'm aware of the time constraint.
I'm aware of the time constraint
we have here. We have a minute left. Mike Nesbitt, how do you think wider unionism will receive this statement?
Well, what I would like wider unionism to do is to study it and to get together in little groups and talk about it and analyse it and come up with a list of questions. I mean, Sinn Féin have given us a roadmap with the way they took their time over responding to the Downing Street Declaration, which was the foundation stone which led to the Good Friday Agreement. We need to think about it and think about it and think about it. We need to think about the middle of paragraph 19 of Declan's statement, where he says it requires bravery to take risks and struggle, which seems to me to be the thumbs up to the IRA, saying, we're not leaving you behind, boys, you were the guys. We need to discuss every single word, every clause of every sentence and every paragraph before we react.